Rich Egger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is Dr. Gil Bellis. He'll be receiving a national honor Sunday afternoon. He'll be the recipient of the National Historic Preservation Medal by the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. First and foremost, congratulations on that honor.
Thank you very much, Rich.
I understand you're only the second Illinois resident to receive this medal. Is that correct?
I guess. I'm not following that, but the local regent, Elizabeth Betty Casper, told me that's the case, so I'll accept her opinion about that.
Let's talk about the reason why you're receiving the medal. It's for your leadership in restoring nearly 100 cemeteries in McDonough County during about the past 5 years. How did you get started on the restoration project?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I was elected president of the McDonough County Historical Society in 2007, and I learned very quickly that one of the projects the society had started several years before was identifying the abandoned and rural, or not even abandoned, but the rural cemeteries in our county and putting up a sign. And it hadn't been done for 4 or 5 years, and they asked me if it was time to restart that project. And in a great wave of naivete, I said, oh, sure, that will be easy and fun to do, before I realized we had over 100 cemeteries in the county, most of which would be very impossible, difficult to find. But I took on the project, and the first year that I was in charge of it, we put up, I think, 20 signs. These were easy to find cemeteries. The criteria was they didn't have any signage, though, and that they were kind of inactive. And we wanted to put some kind of indication that we knew they were there, the cemeteries, and that we wanted to shroud them with a little bit of dignity and visibility so people wouldn't destroy or vandalize them. As the project progressed, in 2009, we put up about 30 signs. In 2010, another 30. In 2011, about 25. So now we've put signs on 95 of the cemeteries, and I know there are three more out there, and there's another three or four I can't find. And so we're drawing down a little bit on the aggressiveness of this because we're realizing that some of these are just totally lost to time, weather, neglect, and the sale of the property from one owner to another. And it was hard enough to find some of these, and it just seems impossible to try and locate all 110 that were identified back in the 70s.
Okay, so there is somewhere a record of at least 110 cemeteries.
That's
in
correct.
This county.
Dwayne Lester and Libby Grimm, Dwayne in the 70s and Libby in the 80s, made it their goal in life to record the location of the cemeteries, and Dwayne actually went in and inventoried the names of everybody in those cemeteries. And this was the major handbook that I was able to use to do this project. So if I had an indication that Libby would say there's a such-and-such cemetery in the northwest quarter or section such-and-such in such-and-such township, that much I knew, which is a square mile. And maybe she recorded there was a cemetery there. I go back, Dwayne, that in the 70s, said that he found four headstones at that cemetery. So I was hoping that I could still find those four headstones someplace there. And publicity through word of mouth, an article in the newspaper, I was able to flush out, like I said, quite a few of those that I really didn't ever expect to find. And I still have some optimism for about three or four more of those, and then I think we're going to have to close the book because some of them I just know are no longer cemetery plots. They're farmland and been tilled over.
And some of these, I imagine, are pretty small. I mean, cemeteries come in all sizes, don't they?
Yes, and in the project, we've actually tried to separate or distinguish a little bit. In some of them that only have maybe one or two headstones, instead of putting cemetery on the sign, I put gravesite.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do have quite a few little family plots with one, two, four, six headstones. And then we have abandoned cemeteries that may have had a dozen or 15 headstones in them. It might have been a family. It might have been a church. It might have been a community. And they still, to me, constitute a cemetery. And so we have used those as kind of rough criteria to distinguish between the one headstone site versus the multiple grave sites.
Would you say most of these are private cemeteries?
Yes.
Are they family cemeteries?
That's correct. At one time, a lot of them were actually under the auspices of the county government. The persons would deed the land to the county for in perpetuity for the care maintenance of the cemetery. And then back in the 1840s, 50s, and 60s, the county did that. They took care of them, and they actually, in the deeds, they said they would take care of the cemetery with a road, with access forever. Well, forever didn't last very long. When a bridge would go out or the road was abandoned or the property changed ownership. And so the county kind of unburdened itself of any kind of responsibility. And I think it was only 5 years ago they finally sold to a local property owner the last of the cemeteries they were responsible for.
Why should someone care about cemeteries? Someone listening to this conversation, what would you tell them?
Well, they're educational sites. They're part of our heritage. These people were respected and honored when they lived, as we like to believe we are. And when we have to bury our own friends and relatives, we consider that a dignified and hallowed kind of thing. I'm not sure why we abandon that feeling just because a site or a headstone might be 25, 50, or 75, 100 years old. And so part of it is the dignity and respect I think we owe our forebears. And so that to me is a large part of it. We've always, and I say we, I said governments have always considered grave sites and cemeteries hallowed ground. You're not supposed to desecrate it or vandalize it. That's against the law. In addition to that, there's a whole lot of other things to learn. People that are interested in family trees and family history, a lot of them are interested in cemeteries for genealogical purposes, tracing the names and the dates of their families. There are a lot of artistic reasons to preserve cemeteries. The sculptors, the engravers of the headstones were artistic and talented. Some of them were nationally known in our area. I'm talking John Long from Macomb was a very nationally known engraver, and a lot of his headstones are in our community. The artistic value themselves, the way they changed over time, the way that certain cemetery markers are of a specific design and an era. There's a horticultural interest because a lot of the cemeteries still maintain some of the original grasses and shrubbery and bushes that were a part of the land back in the 1840s and 50s. And so there's history, genealogy, art, family tree, ethnic migration patterns by the names on the headstones, disease epidemic kind of patterns by the groups of infants that all died within 1 or 2 years, diphtheria, cholera, those kind of things would wipe out entire groups of people. You kind of trace that by looking at the dates. They're very exciting historical sites.
What have you learned from doing this?
Well, I guess I've learned that the interest in the cemetery is goes from absolutely zero to absolutely exciting. Some people are very, very passionate about the preservation, restoration of cemeteries, and some people don't care at all about it. And it's kind of interesting to see the variety of reaction when you tell somebody that you would like to locate and preserve a particular cemetery. The other side, and you've got me going now on my own passion here, is to get other people excited about it. Every once in a while, I'll run across a very neglected and abandoned cemetery that has its own beauty and size and interest, and I'll be able to excite a person that's a scout looking for an Eagle Scout project. And I'll take them out there, and maybe a Tom Green will come with me, former arborist and cemetery historian, a retired faculty member, and we'll look at this swath of land that has just amazingly exciting-looking headstones all fallen over with trees and uprooted and limbs all down. And you can see the Eagle Scout's eyes widen as, wow, I could really take charge of this project, clean it up, and really dignify it again. And we've had that happen 5 times now, and I've got a couple more that really need that kind of tender, loving care. So finding a Boy Scout that wants to be an Eagle Scout is exciting. Finding a volunteer group of people, the Church of Latter-day Saints has had two groups, volunteers, come in the summer, and they've taken on a couple cemeteries as pet projects for a couple of days that they're in town. Had on-campus groups take an interest in cleaning up a cemetery. I've had actual individuals, one, three, five people come in and say they want to do a project, and we've been able to find a small cemetery that needed really a brush-up more than a massive cleanup. So those kind of things really give me heart in terms of the future generations, people that actually see some value in that kind of restoration and cleanup rather than just let it continue to decline and deteriorate.
Now that you've found just about every cemetery in McDonough County, what's next for you? Is there something more you can do for cemeteries in this region?
Well, we've launched another major project, which is related, of course, to this, and that's to restore and rehabilitate the old Macomb Cemetery right here in town on the top of the hill on Wigwam Hollow Road, just north of Adams. And that, we learned after a long search through the records, has been city property, and the sexton at Oakwood Cemetery has been mowing the lawn there for quite a few years. So it came to our attention that this would be an ideal site for restoration. At one time, Marge Harris, a local genealogist and historian, recorded that at one point there were 315 interments at that cemetery. And right now, if you walk through there, you can only see about 75 headstones. If you look real close, the ones flat and laying on the ground and partially showing, you probably got another 35 or 40. So this, to me, is an exciting place to have a restoration. We're going to have a workshop tomorrow afternoon or morning and afternoon, sponsored by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and the Illinois Historic Preservation Commission. They're sending us three instructors, and there are 10 enrollees. It's a limited closed workshop at this stage. And we're going to learn all about the correct procedure in identifying, finding, lifting, resetting, cleaning of headstones. And as this project continues, we're going to put a plug in. We're actively raising some money so we can put a new fence on the north and east sides. You might have noticed the east side, very dangerous and unsafe driveway, has been filled in. This was in anticipation of our fence that's going to go along the east side. So the entry will be along the south 2 acres, which we hope will be eventually turned into a reflective site for some paths and some landscaping, maybe a bench or two, some parking area, so people can approach the old Macomb Cemetery from the south on a nice gradual slope and enter the cemetery that way. So that's our new exciting project, and we're really excited about this particular phase of our work now that we are kind of closing the book on locating and signing the abandoned, neglected. I still want to clean some of those up. So if you are listening out there and you want a project for a Saturday or a couple in a row, weed whackers and bush cutters and some, let me know.
Dr. Gil Bellis on Sunday will receive the National Historic Preservation Medal from the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Congratulations again, and thanks for joining us. We're out of time for today.
Well, thank you, Rich.
For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.